What thickness of bacon are you? Never mind, I don't care. Sup with the sup, Playful Banter Podcast listener, Kyle. Give us some cool intro music from your mouth. Nice. Very nice. Kyle, I need to throw some credit to you right away. I've been thinking this for like over a month now, but this was the first week that I acted on it. You have created the music for our breaks on the podcast. And did you create those or did you steal those from somewhere? Be honest.
I created them out of GarageBand loops. So I put all the different loops together, but they're just the pre-programmed loops that are already in there.
Well, that's still your credit. I mean, you're the one that created it. You didn't invent sound. I don't blame you. But there's been one in particular piece of music that you've used for breaks that every time I hear it, I start grooving to it. I'm like, yeah, that makes me like get into a thoughtful mode. Like I'm a thinker right now. And I finally texted you. I was like, you need to send me that file. That's going to be my focus vibe music. And lo and behold, you sent it. And it's on a one song playlist in my Apple Music now. And I have it on repeat. And I just sit there and listen to the same 3 minutes of music on repeat while I'm focusing. Shout out to you.
The best part is it's a really repetitive song already because I made it for the background of a video. And so all those songs that I make for the background of videos are supposed to be kind of like boring and repetitive, so they don't take away from what's actually happening in the video. So it's funny that you just listen to a repetitive song on repeat.
I do, yep. And every time it starts over, I'm like, oh god, it's starting over again already. But then I quickly get back into it. good on you, Kyle. Tell the people how you're living.
I am living like a second year graphic design student.
A second year graphic design student. So you're at kind of a crossroads of, I have learned some things. I have created, and yet I'm not sure that I'm in the right place for what trajectory I want life to be. There's wild colors and ideas and images flying around your head, but you're still not sure they make sense. You're probably in debt, not entirely sure what you're going to turn this into, but you're having fun. And sometimes you're making cartoons. Am I on the right track?
You're having fun and sometimes you're making cartoons. That's the story of my life.
Yep. Kyle, I have a thoughtful question for you. If you were a donut, what kind of donut would you be? This is Robbie's rumination room or whatever it was.
I think I'd be a glazed old-fashioned donut.
Is that your go-to donut? If you're in a donut shop, do you go to that one, or is that just what you feel like?
I have a range of go-tos, but it's one of them. It's in the rotation. I just feel like it's kind of like me. It's maybe a little bit more plain than I am in general, but I don't know. I was on the spot.
If you were to go into a donut shop right now, what would you get? Did you get the maple glaze? Do you like chocolate? You like stuffed? You like filled?
Well, see, right now it's evening. It's after dinner. It'd be like a dessert donut. So I would get like a frosted sprinkled donut.
Oh. Do you go with the white frosting sprinkle or the chocolate sprinkle? The world needs to know.
The white, generally.
Okay. But if you were to have it in mid-morning, on like a weekend, your Sunday breakfast.
Yeah.
What do you go with?
And it's like some sort of maple bar maybe, or like a buttermilk or old-fashioned donut. Something like that.
Okay. 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 All right, fine. Have it your way.
You asked me the question.
I know. I wanted you to get really deep and introspective and you know, dig really into your feelings and how it relates. I figured donuts would be a nice... What thickness of bacon are you? Never mind. I don't care. We have to move on, Kyle. Do you know who loves a good pastry on the weekends as she is devising ways to spread her wealth amongst the world's most needy people?
This is a fact you're just making up right now.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't tell you that you're wrong, but I also can't tell you
without
that you're
a
right.
Shadow of a doubt, you can't tell me I'm wrong.
But you can't tell me that you're right.
No. The Robbie rules clearly state, if you cannot definitively prove me wrong, I am right. That's the rule. Respect Robbie rules, Kyle. Now, back to the pastry-loving philanthropist that is our woman of the week, Melinda Gates. Kyle, what do you know about Melinda?
I know that she is a philanthropist.
Nailed it.
Yep. Co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
With who?
Bill.
Yeah. Good. 2 for 2.
Nailing it. I believe she... I don't know. I watched the Bill Gates documentary on Netflix a while ago. It was pretty good, but clearly I didn't retain very much from it.
Yeah. So here's just some of her awards. So by the way, very, very, you know, I think that there might be a little bit of a misconception that she's most famous for being married to Bill Gates. She is extremely bright and successful in her own right. They're like truly a power couple. She's a former general manager at Microsoft, and this predates, you know, their marriage and stuff. And so she was right there in the thick of it at the very beginning with them because she's so smart and, you know, holds her own and is very powerful in the tech industry. They got married in 94. They've received worldwide rewards and recognition for their philanthropy. Just, I mean, you name a disenfranchised, underserved, at-risk population, they've probably donated millions of dollars towards that. So like in 2005, they were named Time Persons of the Year alongside Bono. So, you know, I don't know why we weren't invited. You'd think Bill and Melinda Gates and Bono, I mean, the next step is us. Granted, we were 14, 13. I don't know.
We can do good things when we're that young.
Yeah, we hadn't quite peaked yet, but we were getting there. All kinds of other stuff, donating to hospitals. Just in Forbes alone, she was ranked the number 3 most powerful woman in 2013, 14, 15, and 17. 2012 and 16, she slipped a little to number 4. And in 2011 and 2018, she was really struggling, was only number 6 on the list of most powerful women in the world. So hoping she gets a strong bounce back year back into the top 5 for 2019. She also is very well known for being a strong advocate of getting more women in the tech industry. The tech industry is an extremely male-dominated workplace, and since she does have the background of being at Microsoft as a general manager, she's devoting a lot of her, not just her money, but her energy and her influence on getting more women into the tech field and into tech workplaces. She has a really good quote that I found on the Wikipedias. And it says that women should spend more time doing paid work, starting businesses, or otherwise contributing to the economic well-being of societies around the world. The fact that they can't holds their families and communities back. We co-sign this statement, and we are with you, Melinda, as you empower the women. Granted, with much less financial fortitude, experience in the tech industry, or overall knowledge about everything. But we're there for you.
But we're right here behind you.
You've got our platform of 7 followers. every podcast should you ever want to be a guest. So just let us know, hit us up, you know.
According to Anchor, we have an audience size of roughly 30. So suck on.
Nice. Wow, that's almost five times what I just said.
Yep, take that.
I could probably name them all. including Yuri and Andre in the Russian shack in Siberia.
Andre,
love you guys. Shack. Oh yeah, Andre, but it's spelled R-E-I at the end of Andre, not A-N-D-R-E.
Oh, see that coming.
No, it's a trip. You should meet him. He's great. Good pen pal if you speak Russian, which I don't. Anyway. No.
Speaking of pen pals.
Speaking of pen pals, let's talk about the challenge of the week. Good job, Kyle.
See that? I was looking for an opening.
So I have enjoyed how I have participated in the challenge of the week thus far. I will say, I think that I'm going above and beyond here because I'm putting in more labor than you asked me to.
Okay.
And that's because I just feel like it's something I should do right. So what I'm doing,
as opposed to the other things that I tell you to do, which you don't think is something you should do right.
Let me explain, butthole. So you asked me to write four people letters, at least four people.
Mm-hmm.
I am taking a page out of my partner's book, The Muse. She's a really good artist. And so, especially during this time, she's kind of been like therapeutically doing watercolors to make postcards to send to family and friends. And she's even started creating them for her students. But I just think that that's such a cool idea. Like, letters are great. I love letters. Letters are wonderful. But to get like a handmade piece of art along with like a letter on a postcard, mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. So I am creating postcards in lieu of letters, and then obviously writing a message on the postcards. But it's taking me a lot longer as a result because I can't just sit there and crank out four letters because I'm doing drawings. I'm not a painter. I'm not a watercolor, but I use colored pencils and effort. And they don't look good, but I'm also oddly proud of them.
They're abstract.
Exactly. Yeah, you can tell for the most part what the things are. So, and another thing is that I did put it onto the Instagram late, that you could submit requests to get on the mailing list. And so I've completed a few of them. I'm not at four yet, but as of like yesterday, I had only received two requests and I got three requests in the last 24 hours. So I'm cutting it off there. I'm going to do five postcards total. Okay. I'm going to take pictures of all of them. And once they are received, I will post the pictures on our Instagram. But I don't want to post them on there before they are received so that it doesn't get spoiled.
That is good. Have you enjoyed it?
I did. I mean, it is nice. I keep meaning to bring them down to my workstation so that I can like create them while I'm stuck on conference calls and stuff. But one, I'm not that good of a multitasker. I tend to like zone out. It's kind of good therapeutic stuff for me, but I couldn't listen to people while I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I don't have a talented enough brain for that. But like last night I was sitting there watching TV, you know, just like a rerun of something, and I was doing the make it a little card. So those will be kind of trickled out. You don't get the immediate daily satisfaction like the breakfast challenge, where you could check in every day and see how it was going. Mine might actually take like another week or so for people to actually see what was created, but it is happening, and I will have photo evidence to prove it.
I believe in you.
Thank you, Kyle. Well, you better believe in me when I tell you what your challenge is going to be.
Sock it to me.
So, kind of sticking with the theme of like the first back and forth was taking something away from the other one. And then this one, you made me do something different. And I have a fun little challenge for you. I joked around about this as like not a serious challenge, and then I thought about it a little bit and I decided that this is exactly what the challenge needs to be. I want you to spend 1 week, Kyle, wearing all of your pants and shirts backwards.
And shirts.
And shirts, including any sweatshirts, or pullovers, or, you know, jeans. If you're wearing anything with a button, the buttons have to be buttoned in the back. let's face it, everybody looks disheveled and is in their pajamas all the time anyway. There's a no judgment zone right now. So you can feel better about that. You're not having to go to work, like in person. So I want daily Instagram updates. Post it on for the people on Twitter too, Kyle. Or send me a picture, I'll put it on Twitter for the people. But your challenge this week, backwards pants, underwear, and shirts.
You just keep adding on to it.
And socks. I want you to have your socks on upside down. I don't want them to fit at all.
Yeah. Okay.
When you pee, you're going to have to unbutton your pants from the back and then just drop them all the way to the floor. I think that'll be hilarious. I also foresee you probably just wearing sweats most of the time and it won't be that big of a deal, but I think it will look hilarious.
Yeah, it will definitely look weird. See, the thing is, when I'm working, I like to not wear sweats because then I feel like I'm working, but yep. Now that's disincentivized me. So I may be in sweats more often.
Hey, Kyle, I don't want to restrict you, man. If you want to keep wearing pants during the day, I think that's a perfect scenario. That's exactly what I wanted to see you do. I want you to be wearing... I want you to wear button pants at least twice this week out of the 7 days of the challenge.
I'm also worried about the pocket situation because I'm so used to just getting into the pockets the way that pockets are meant to be got into. And now they're going to be reversed. So not only do I have to reach in reverse to get them, but like if my phone is in my sweatpants pocket, it's going to be like under my butt.
Which is why if you wear button pants, you still will have the pockets that are usually on your butt, on your thighs.
That's true.
And it's easy access. So there's a point in the button pants column.
Yeah. And wearing a shirt backwards, that's just not comfortable. But I guess I'll do it.
It's not about comfort, Kyle. It's about entertainment for me. And don't you forget it. So you have been thus challenged.
Okay. I accept the challenge. I like that all the challenges that I'm giving you have like at least some part of like goodness in them. They're supposed to be inconvenient, but they're also supposed to have like a positive aspect to it. And all of yours are just pure spite and entertainment for you.
I am not wired that way, Kyle. You you see the layers and things, and like even if you have a mean layer in there, there's also like two nice, well-intentioned layers. And I'm not like that. I part of me wishes I was, but this is more fun. And so, I don't know, one of these days I'll try to come up with a challenge that actually might have a positive impact on you. But maybe, you know, we can spin this and this will be your opportunity to see life through a different lens as if you had eyes on the back of your head. I'm trying to literally expand your perspective. You've never looked at the back of your shirt while you're wearing it before. Who knows what's on there?
The shirt I'm wearing right now actually has a hole in the back.
Is that perfect? I want you to put a shirt on in the morning and notice that there's a hole and you're like, oh my God, I never noticed that before. I think that would be wonderful.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll see what comes out of it.
You know who doesn't handle challenges very well?
Alex Brown.
The worst minister of food and nutrition I think we've ever had in Great Kingland.
By far. If we were to name, list the worst ministers of food and nutrition that have been in the kingdom, it's just one name.
Yep. That's it. It's on the base of a statue, which he also gets because he's also the best minister of food and nutrition we've ever had. It's a complicated dichotomy here. But Alex was very aware that he was told to bring us delicious food this week.
Mm-hmm. He said it on the podcast. We discussed it in a meeting, a video meeting.
Yep. He was well aware of it. He said he had ideas. Here we are, Thursday night, like we told him we would be, and there's nothing. I went out and checked my doorstep. Yeah, I went out and checked my doorstep before we started recording, and there was no sandwich. I bet he forgot about it.
I'm fairly certain that he did.
So you will be receiving a series of angry tweets, sir, and I hope you're ready for that fury.
That's hitting him where it hurts, too, because he spends a lot of time on Twitter. Making that a negative experience for him is really gonna get him.
What is his punishment, Kyle? Let's Ooh. Brainstorm right now. What do we get from him now?
A reassignment from Minister of Food and Nutrition is on the table.
Which is bold. No one's ever been reassigned from a ministry position within the kingdom. So that would be severe. I think we got to give him a chance to retain his title. However, because we know that there's people willing to slide in there. I think we even had an offer that Jeremy Wan wanted to take over that position. Did he not? And I bet That's he'd be true. Good at it. So, I bet he'd be real good at it.
So what we can do is next week we're going to try and get him on the podcast so we can issue an additional challenge as in addition to the sandwich challenge. So he has to complete two in order to keep his job.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. We need the original payment and then some with interest now. So we just have to decide what that other challenge is.
We'll come up with that. We got a week.
I'm thinking sandwich and maybe a baked item or something. He's not so much of a baker, though. I don't know if I want that.
He's more of a cheesy guy.
Speaking of which, if anybody would like to apply, we now have a new ministry position, Minister of Baked Goods. We are now accepting applications on our doorsteps at your leisure. Please let us know if interested. Inquire within. Is it time for a break?
I think we're taking a break.
All right. When we come back, we're going to think about post-quarantine life, and we're also getting social with it. Don't go anywhere.
We are now back.
Boom, boom. That was nice. Good job with that. It was kind of a roller coaster of inflections.
Yeah, I was going for a big dynamic range there.
Yep, just kind of fell out of your mouth at different paces, like if you were swallowing marbles. Anyway, we're moving on. Kyle, I know that we have both sacrificed, you've really sacrificed, on like big plans that we had that have been changed due to the quarantine, due to self-isolation. So, you know, a big thing that I'm doing, as are a lot of people, is dreaming about what are the things we're going to do when this is over? Who are you going to hug first? Where are you going to travel? Who are you going to travel with? What are your goals? Things like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quiz that is interactive, and it's going to tell Kyle and I where our first adventure after this self-quarantine phase is done. Supposedly, if we answer these questions, it will spit out the exact location where we each need to travel. And as we know, BuzzFeed quizzes have never been wrong about anything ever. 100% accuracy, nope. 100% of the time. More like 100% accuracy, 6% of the time. Probably not. But I think BuzzFeed plays by Robbie rules. They have a bunch of quizzes like, we'll be able to tell what decade you were born in based on these answers. And they could always just say, well, you answered incorrectly. You didn't answer honestly, so you screwed it up. I respect it. I really do. That's exactly what I would do.
We're going to answer these correctly.
Yes. So, Kyle, first things first. What kind of luggage do you take on your trip? And we'll alternate with these questions, and we'll each answer individually. So there's three options here. There's like, I am a chronic overpacker. I'm taking everything. I've got a rolly suitcase, two duffel bags, a backpack, all kinds of crap. I'm taking everything I own with me on this trip. There's also on the other end of the spectrum, I'm just taking a backpack. Or your third option is I'm just taking a roller suitcase. How do you pack?
I'm a backpack kind of guy.
I knew you would be.
I like to pack as light as possible, very minimal. Chances are, if I really forgot anything super essential, it will be wherever I am going to.
I think that that's fair. I have always wished I was that. And sometimes I even go into a trip thinking I'm going to be that, and I never am. I always have just a little bit too much stuff. And can we just talk about, the big reason is shoes. I just don't feel like I can only take one pair of shoes anywhere because I don't know what to expect when I'm going somewhere. Like, I like to hike, but I don't also want to go to, like, a restaurant at night wearing my hiking boots. So I always have to take two pairs of shoes, and that automatically gets me out of the backpack realm, it seems like.
Yeah. I was in Europe for 6 weeks, and I brought one pair of shoes.
Well, good for you. So I'm clicking roller bag. Okay, the next one, you have room for one additional item in your luggage. What's it going to be? Kyle, what are our options?
We have climbing gear, a camping chair, or snorkeling supplies. Which one are you going with?
You know, this is kind of like the other one where I wish that I was a backpack person, because I think that that's like shows you being free spirit and stuff. I wish that I was a climbing gear person or even a snorkeling person, but I'm just not. I'm a camping chair person. I've never climbed anything successfully ever. And snorkeling is great, but sometimes I also get seasick while snorkeling, which is not great. And I'm also not a huge fan of fish, which, like, you know, so it makes snorkeling a little strange. Even though I do enjoy seeing the underwater world and, like, I think it's really beautiful, when the fish get too close, I get kind of freaked out. So I am squarely in the camping chair realm. How about
you? Yeah, I'm torn between climbing gear and snorkeling. Camping chair is definitely not in my top two.
You have a camping chair.
The problem is, I don't know how to use climbing gear myself, so I would hope that somebody else who knows what they're doing would take climbing gear, and I'll go with the snorkeling supplies.
Well, if we're going together, you're not getting climbing gear, so... And you also don't have anywhere to sit around the campfire, so suck it.
That's nothing new for me. I have camping chairs. I oftentimes forget to bring them.
That's true. I can attest to that. Kyle, what's our next question?
All right, let's hop in the car. Which seat are you calling dibs on? Driver, passenger, back seat.
By the way, I think this whole thing is probably a Subaru commercial. just to tell the people.
Full transparency.
I'm the driver. I like to drive. I get less car sick that way. I'm more engaged that way. And I'm just most comfortable.
Yeah. I'm really ambivalent here, so I'm going to go backseat just because I know other people are going to care more than I do, and so I'll take the backseat, which is, I think, generally considered most undesirable, but I don't mind it.
That makes you the snack master.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Everybody, and I think that's appropriate for you. The passenger is always the DJ, and the backseat is the snack distributor, and I think that falls square in your skill set.
I would say on the Robbie Rules road trip that we went on last summer, I was in the back most often.
Yep. I don't know if I ever was, and I'm fine with it. pick a genre of music. Would you go with rock, pop, or classical in the car?
I mean, rock would probably be my favorite, but I feel like if we're like road tripping, I'd go pop because you're going to get more sing-alongs.
That's right. You need the sing-alongs. I also like the upbeat. Like, classical has its moments, not many for me, but it does. But I would just go straight to sleep if I was listening to classical music in the car, I think.
Yeah, to me, it's not an adventure music. It's like I'm on my way into work and I need some peace before work or something, then I'll listen to some classical music.
Nothing epic has ever happened to classical music outside of Die Hard. Next question, Kyle.
All right, how do you take your temperature in the car? Hotter, just right, or cooler? Which to me is a real dumb question because there's one answer that says it's the right answer in the answer.
You are right. You are right. Although I'm not going to pick it. I like it cold, baby. Cool it down. I don't even want room temperature. I want colder. I like to walk into a room and have it be cold. Same thing with the car.
See, here's the thing, is I'm with you. I prefer cooler, but for just right is just right. Like, it could be my just right is cooler than most people's, but it's just right. So that's the one I'm picking.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, Kyle, I'm interested in your answer to this next one. Mm-hmm. You're on your way now and you need a snack. Go with jerky, candy, or trail mix?
Here's the thing. Normally when I'm in the store, I go candy and I love it at the start. And then I like get part of the way into this road trip and I'm like, man, I wish I would have got some jerky. It's like, it's more like substantial. So I'll probably go jerky now that I'm clear-headed and not actually in the store.
I agree with you that candy is always the impulse, but candy makes you sick faster, gives you that sugary, gritty feeling. Sometimes it can make you feel tired later after your sugar high. Trail mix is kind of the happy medium here. You got the M&Ms, you got some of the chocolate bits in there, but you also have some of the protein with peanuts, you got some of the crunch. That being said, I'm going jerky. I was just advocating for trail mix. I do like me some trail mix.
My only problem with trail mix is most of them have raisins, and I don't need raisins.
I like raisins. They're nature's candy. Next. Next question is yours.
All right. We're in a long drive here. Are your shoes staying on or are the shoes coming off?
I've never been a shoes off person necessarily, unless I'm wearing slides.
Yeah, I'm in a car, I'm for sure a shoes off person.
I could see it. How are we friends? Have we answered any of these the same except jerky?
It's a yin and yang situation.
Fair enough. All right, the last question. Which are you choosing for the last stretch of this drive, the highway or the scenic route?
I'm going scenic route.
Me too.
But what
I'm I'm in no rush to get back unless I am.
I was going to say, let me pose this question to you. Google says the estimated time of arrival is 6:35. You're on the highway. The scenic route would take you slower. You would lose to the Google estimate. Which are you picking?
I would still take the scenic route unless you started bothering me about losing to the estimate, which you've done before and made my life much more stressful than it has to be. So thanks, Kyle, for that. I almost ran down people in your neighborhood one time just because you were texting me that I was going to miss it. So thanks. But yes, typically I'm taking the scenic route.
Okay, fair enough.
So now we need to hit refresh and watch this stupid video at the I'm Shoes On, which, again, I feel like it really makes me seem like an asshole. I am not cool. Like, cool people take climbing gear and take their shoes off. And they pick trail mix, and I'm just none of those things.
Hey, you got jerky in the scenic route.
Yeah.
And you're a real hipster about your car temperature. Calculating your results. Your next adventure is a river kayak trip in Big Bend National Park.
That sounds perfect, considering Kyle has always wanted to kayak.
Grab an oar and hop on in, it says, for a float along the Rio Grande.
Oh.
That sounds fun. I'm in.
Big Bend, where is that? The Rio Grande, obviously, you're in the southwest somewhere. My answer is Arches National Park in Utah, where I have been and where I actually got engaged. So I have to say that this this quiz checks out. Like I said, 100% of the time, it's right. 6% of the time.
This thing worked pretty well, though. I'm impressed.
I mean, I'm not sure that there's any answers on that are bad. You know, I'm sure that
that's true. We probably would have enjoyed somewhere any of them.
I'm pretty sure that even it takes you somewhere cool, regardless. But
yeah.
Anyway, I would be totally down to go to Arches. Again, yeah. I would really love to. Maybe that's where we need a road trip to, Kyle. All right.
It's social time.
So it's time to get social. And we will say that the MVP of the social medias this week, other than people begging me to write them postcards, was Press Secretary, Secretary of the Media, Danielle Frack. She has submitted quite a few prompts for discussion. The first one being today, the day that we are recording, was the first anniversary of quote unquote The Shot. And I know that some of our listeners may be confused. The Shot is not the one that killed John F. Kennedy, or Martin Luther King, or any of the other assassinations famous in history. It's also not Michael Jordan's shot. It's on a long list of shots, but I believe she's referring to the Damian Lillard shot.
The one that killed the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes, just decimated a whole organization. And bless him. And bless him for it. Kyle.
Yes.
We were there together. We experienced this moment. Walk the people through what happened, why it's so memorable, and how we embarrassingly, yet no shame in how we reacted.
Well, the Blazers had not won a playoff game in a long time. They had lost 8 straight playoff games, which is not great. And so going into that season, it was pretty important that, one, they at least win a playoff game and preferably win a series. So they won the first playoff game of that series, took a 2-1 lead, then lost a game, won Game 4, and had a chance at home for Game 5 to win the series and move out of the first round for the first time in a couple years against the hated Oklahoma City Thunder with Russell Westbrook, who likes to talk a lot of trash. And so in Game 5, we were down by like 15 in the fourth quarter at one point.
Yeah, something like that. It was pretty bleak there for a little bit.
Yes, it seemed dark. The injured center for the Blazers, Jusuf Nurkić, came driving in from his home so that the crowd would cheer when he came in.
Which totally worked.
It absolutely worked.
Made turned everything the momentum. Epic.
The game is tied. Blazers have the ball. Few seconds left. Clock's ticking down. Damian Lillard is just standing very far away from the basket for the amount of time that is left, dribbling the ball between his legs like he's just living his life, and then all of a sudden hits a step back three from 37 feet away to win the series and move the Blazers into the second round and effectively dismantle that version of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep, and when the shot went in, so despite how far away Damian Lillard was standing from the hoop, it felt like 19,000 people all knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
Was that he was going to shoot it. And so as the clock ticks down and the ball is in his hands, Kyle, myself, and Alex were all like, you can imagine it kind of in a movie, we are all grown-ass men, like our arms linked together in like a moment of holding our breath, and everything moves in slow motion, and we're all just huddled there, arms around each other. And then the ball goes in, and I can't describe the sounds that came out of my body in that moment. Partially because I don't think I heard the sounds that came out of my own body, because the whole building shook, basically. And Kyle almost got abducted.
Yeah, we were in the top row of the 200 level, and right above that row is the luxury suites. And everyone's jumping up and down. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm getting pulled up into one of the luxury suites behind us.
Someone tried to kidnap Kyle in the mayhem, and we probably would have like gotten a ransom note or something afterwards. It honestly would have been the perfect time to abduct somebody.
I mean, I was so down crazy. For it. I was excited. Like, wherever you wanted to go, let's go. I'll hop into your suite.
Yeah, go on a snack raid.
Yeah.
Would have been great.
Those things are catered.
Yep. So yes, we did a giant jump hug. We almost slipped on the ground. It was a mixture of slippery yet sticky, which is, you know, you can only really understand if you've ever been to a sporting event, the mixture of slippery and sticky. Mm-hmm. It's not a floor you want to be on. But yes, just a moment of pure elation, you know, that really only sports like that can give you. I think. I can't really think of other scenarios where it's just like in a split second, things change, and like a whole group of tens of thousands of people all come together just in like the craziness of what just happened.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of sporting events. I've never felt anything quite like that, and probably never will.
Yeah, hard to describe, but definitely memorable, one of our fondest memories. Kyle, what's been your weirdest quarantine binge?
I'm assuming that's like streaming related or like television related, or is it like binging on cookies?
I'll even open it up. If there's been like a certain food or something that you've just like, you wouldn't normally have binged on, but since you're just there mm-hmm. and you're stuck, you've been eating a lot more of something. I'll allow that.
Or an activity maybe.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people have been binging puzzles.
Yeah, you can binge puzzles in this case.
Yeah, I haven't really done that. I mean, probably right now we're watching that Too Hot to Handle Netflix show, which is kind of ridiculous. Oh,
God.
I wouldn't say we're binging it, but we're going through it. People may be surprised that I'm binge watching Gilmore Girls, which is a fantastic show. I just think when you look at a guy, you don't think they're going to be watching Gilmore Girls, but I'm all in.
No judgment, Kyle. No judgment. I've watched shows like that. I have a proposition for the people, which maybe somebody will take us up on, maybe not. But this is a very unique opportunity, if anybody's paying attention. I want somebody to pick anything on Netflix or Hulu. And Kyle and I, so, you know, along the lines of the Too Hot to Handle or The Bachelor or whatever, pick something that's on Netflix for at least one season. Kyle and I will binge it over the next couple of weeks, and we will have ongoing discussions on this podcast about it so that other people will binge it with us. And then we can debate morality and ethics and costume choices or things like that. So
should we go like one episode a week and then discuss that episode?
I don't know. What do you think is better? I see the merits of both ways. I guess maybe moving at the same pace is better.
I feel like we probably should.
Okay. So once we decide on a show, we can decide on the pace. But any kind, and it's got to be bad, people. It's got to be bad. Like, it's got to be so bad it's good.
I think there's a new, Bachelor-esque type show where they're singing.
I've heard that.
I feel like that could be a good one for us.
Okay, so if nobody offers up any suggestions, we might go with that one. But otherwise, yeah, some kind of reality TV type of thing that's just cringy that we can watch. Yeah, I'm down for that. I haven't really quarantine binged a ton of things. Tiger King, binge Tiger King. That was an experience, but we've talked about that. So,
what show are you rewatching right now? You're always rewatching one of like four different sitcoms.
I'm expanding my horizons, Kyle, and I'm rewatching Community now because it just got on Netflix.
That is a great show.
Yeah. Like rewatching it, I'm like, you know what? I think this might be in my top five. It's a brilliant show.
It's really, yeah.
It's really good. Like, I won't put it up there with The Office or Parks and Rec or Friends, but it might be right there at like four.
Yeah. The problem is it's like all out of Dan Harmon's head, and he left one of the seasons. So like the first few seasons are great, and then it was like an okay season, and then they like moved to Yahoo. So it kind of got inconsistent at the end, but it's really good.
Yeah, the sweet spot of the first couple seasons is perfect. I think Donald Glover, doesn't he end up leaving towards the end? Because he blows up. And so I think that things kind of deteriorate a little bit there. But man, it's really, really good. So I've been re-binging that as well.
That's a good one.
What else did she want? She brought it with the prompts this week. Odd quarantine purchases? You purchased anything weird, Kyle?
I don't think that I have, at least not that I can remember. The last thing I bought is this little keyboard case for my iPad. I'm very excited about it. It's been great. I wrote most of my most recent playfulbanter.org article on that keyboard case. Hasn't been posted yet, but it'll be posted soon.
There's the tease. I have mainly been purchasing, actually. We have a birthday coming up in our household. The Muse's birthday is coming up next week, and so I have been purchasing some things that I would never purchase otherwise. I've been purchasing because I know that she wants them, but I can't spoil any surprises on here. But I have been purchasing some things. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. How did you find that? But she has, and she wants it, and she'll get them. So there have been a few purchases that have happened like that. I think that The strangest thing was, out of desperation, we purchased a Costco package of paper towels, which is more paper towels than we'll ever need, probably. I mean, it's like 12 rolls of paper towels, and we go through like one roll every couple months. So it might last us a year or so. And it's hard to find space to stash that kind of thing. You can put it in your linen closet or your pantry, but that takes up your whole space. So it's in our
garage. Yeah, I mean, growing up, we would always get the Costco toilet paper and paper towels and just stick them in the closet under the stairs that nobody ever really used. And then anytime you need one, you just go in there. But if you don't have that space, it can be problematic.
Yeah, we don't have every other closet space and stuff is taken already. And so we just didn't have a good spot for that one. So yes, maybe one day we'll be able to stash things if we get a house. But right now, townhousing it. But that is probably the most quarantine-esque purchase that we've made. And I believe that there was one more prompt of... Nope, that was it.
All right. We got social.
We got social. We've ranted. We've found out where our next adventures are. It's been a packed episode. We're going to take a quick break, a decompress. When you come back, we're going to once again do our favorite activity of telling Frankie Muniz how much he sucks, and you won't want to miss it. All right, everybody, we are back from your break with Kyle and Robbie wrapping it up.
Wow.
You can change the cadence, and so can I.
I liked it. Yeah. All right. I would just like to wish a happy birthday to John Oliver and John Cena. What age do you think John Oliver is?
Big day for John's. We were just talking about Community. John Oliver, time to time, shows up on Community, including the pilot. I think John Oliver is 47.
You are 4 years high. He's turning 43. What age do you think John Cena is?
I think John Cena is one of those dudes that's older than he looks. I would say John Cena is like 39.
John Cena's also 43. John Oliver, John Cena, the exact same birthday.
Huh.
The two Johns, born on the same day. You also share a birthday with William Shakespeare.
Ah, the Bard. The Bard. Billy Shakes. Gotta love him. Kyle, what's one goal that you have for this week?
To not pee my pants when I'm wearing them backwards.
Okay, what's one goal that you want? What's one challenge you have for the people? Give us some inspiration heading into this week.
One challenge for the people?
Yeah, just be like, hey,
try and do at least 20 minutes of exercise a day.
Okay, not as funny as I was hoping it would be, but that's real. That's good.
You said treat each other good. That's not funny.
Well, I don't know. I was on the spot, but I appreciate it. Okay, so everybody's going to exercise this week. Let us know how that's going. Let us know what crappy reality show we need to watch. Kyle, what's the tweet of the week?
Our tweet of the week comes to us from Twitter user @SarahDici. It says, I ate too many tacos and now I'm in bed. How's your day going?
That's how I wish my day was going. For real. I did have, and this is going to segue us, another tweet by reigning world champion of horridness, Frankie Muniz, tweeted today, work out super hard to just eat a freaking gallon of Oreo ice cream. This is why I'm a troll. I have never agreed with a tweet more than that one. You are a troll. Go live under a bridge. I feel like
he's had some real self-deprecating tweets as of late. I wonder if we're getting to him. Are we finally winning this war?
I think we're cracking him. I think that this is it. I think that we'll be getting the tweet that we've been waiting for years, starting this war. What's funny is that in order to end this war, he has to start a fight. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
Like, for those of you that don't remember, And I think it's even on our website under like origin stories where we explain a bunch of things. We explain why we hate Frankie Muniz. We tried to pick a fight with him on Twitter and he didn't engage with us. And so rightfully we hate him now. Which, you know, kind of ironic, but also we're in too deep. We've been at this for years. We just need one tweet from Frankie, and I think that we can call it good.
I feel like there's a few ways he can get out of this. One, he can acknowledge that we have won. Two, yes. He can try and start a fight with us.
Yes.
And three, he can donate to the Playful Banter toy drive come time.
Yes. And if it's number two, it's going to be a hilarious sequence because he's going to respond to one of our tweets or something and say, "You guys freaking suck. I hate you. Let's do this." And we will respond, "Thank God we like you now." And then we will be the most pro Frankie Muniz Twitter account I think anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
But until then, he is enemy number one. And mm-hmm. That is the life that we're choosing to live now.
Yeah.
So screw you, Frankie Muniz.
But never fear the bacon.
Never fear the bacon. Have a great week, people.
Wear your pants straight.